He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, July 26th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today on this Fed announcement Wednesday. Of course, as you can expect, the markets are off to kind of a belated start, even though not moving too much, even though of course, we've had some big names report over the last 24 hours. The Dow's, all of the U.S. equity markets are down just a tad bit. We've got the Dow down 32 points, basically almost right at 9 basis points, 0.1% down. S&P 500 down almost a little over 6 points at 0.15% down. And the NASDAQ coming in at down 0.12%, 17 points. Also have crude oil down just a bit, almost touched, I believe it touched 80 almost here. We're down 46 cents there to 79.17. And gold up today just a tad bit, about $2.65 an ounce to $1,967. And Bitcoin still sitting around that 30,000 mark at 29,232. But again, good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, July 26th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. And I'm your host, Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management. I'm taking care of the relief captain duties for Bill today, but we've got a big Fed announcement today. We've also, of course, this week has been pretty busy in terms of having roughly about, I think, 40% of the S&P 500 reported this week, and we've got with the Fed announcement here expected right around 2 p.m. Eastern release time will be when the Fed decision comes out. Highly likely, from a consensus standpoint at least, expect right about a 25 basis point increase there from the Fed. Of course, that would actually put it to the highest level seen in 22 years. So a bit of history making here, at least something we haven't seen in a couple of decades. Of course, the real fireworks will be come in the form of market volatility, I'm sure, around 2:30 Eastern time, when Chairman Powell will give his news conference. Will begin then, and of course, markets and algorithmic trading and everyone else out there will be hanging on every word, and certainly dissecting that, kind of like some of those presidential debates sometimes when you're looking at different reactions along the way. So that's what we'll have. That's what we have in store for us from a Fed standpoint. We'll actually, I guess you got to get used to it, because we'll have the ECB and Christine Lagarde will be speaking tomorrow. So European Central Bank decision will come out tomorrow, and to kind of finish out the week, we'll get the Bank of Japan numbers on Friday, what their decision will be. So lots of central bank discussions thrown around this week, of course, with the backdrop of 40% of the S&P 500 reporting. And of course, the big news would have been after the close yesterday, when Microsoft and Google, or Alphabet, if you will, reported, kind of a mixed market reaction from there. And then this morning we had heard from Coca-Cola, Boeing, Hilton, handful of other recognizable names that we'll get into later into the show. But before we get a little too far ahead of ourselves, we'll go ahead and kind of take a look at What we'll have, kind of look back at yesterday, which is actually the Dow's longest win streak. Dow wasn't up by much, but it was actually the Dow's longest win streak since, I guess, back in 2017, February of 2017, in terms of, I guess, the number of days up in a row. Of course, yesterday the NASDAQ was up 0.6%, mainly on the news of kind of a little anticipation of Microsoft and Google coming out, but also still had some rise in those chip names that continue to continue to get that AI tailwind. S&P was up about 0.28%, and the Dow was up 0.08%. So, like I said, it was Dow had a positive for the Dow's actually been in the green, I guess, for the last 12 trading sessions. We'll see how it holds up here today. It's sitting right around zero or flat right at the moment. So, let's see if they can make it 13. That'd be, like I said, best run for the Dow since 2017, and kind of highlights a bit of what you know, Bill's kind of mentioned happening, at least since the end of the halfway mark of the year, since the end of the second quarter on June 30th. You've really, you know, had you know, certainly more participation by other members of the relative indices, particularly on the Dow side, versus of course some of those tech names that really drove and fueled the market, particularly those Magnificent Seven. So interesting stat there. Of course, you know, some of those things that were pushing the S&P 500 yesterday was a good report from 3M, a good report from GE. Verizon actually came out with a forecast that kind of they were trying to get rid of some of the worries about some of the lead cable and things that AT&T had mentioned early in the week, and then hurt them in those in their assessments. But of course, right now it looks like things are a bit quiet, at least from a market standpoint, at the indice level, as we wait for that announcement at 2 p.m. Eastern time here today. So like I said, the overwhelming consensus is, of course, that the Fed's going to raise by 25 basis points. And I'm pretty sure we'll hear the term data dependent at some point during Powell's news conference. Of course, you know, as they've stressed that they are very data dependent, it's really created a good bit more increased volatility kind of around those certain data releases that, you know, in the past we paid attention to a lot on the economic front. They just didn't, you know, really have as much ability kind of to drive the market or to fuel different views of the market as they do now, given that the Fed has said that they're so data dependent. Some of those numbers obviously being, you know, your weekly job numbers, the monthly non-farm payrolls, all of your inflation reports, like the PCE index, which of course is the Fed's preferred in measure of inflation, CPI numbers, PPI numbers, housing reports. Of course, we had some PMI data that's been showing a little slowing, certainly certainly around the globe. At least if you look at our PMI numbers versus some of Europe's PMI numbers, I don't think we look too bad. But you know, the list kind of goes on and on in terms of those different data points, but we'll also, at the very end of the week, we'll get the PCE index number, which, like I said, it's the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. I'd like to know, Bill and I were talking about the fact that I'd like to know if they had those PCE numbers in front of them while they're having their meeting yesterday and today. So not really sure if they get a free preview ahead of time, given that those numbers will come out on Friday, just a couple of days after the Fed decision today. So when you look at the market, of course, we're always, you know, market's always forward looking, and you know, while there's a, you know, pretty very very high percentage from a market standpoint that the Fed will raise 25 basis points today, there's about a 40, roughly right around market's pricing in, about a 44% chance of another 25 basis point hike sometime this year in 2023, which, you know, means, I guess 56% of folks, you know, feel that this will be the, you know, pretty much be the last hike, particularly for this cycle. And here in a bit, we'll kind of look at some of those numbers, at least on the Fed side of things, that would, you know, in terms of what would lead to, what would lead the Fed to, you know, instead of pausing or skipping, what would lead them to, you know, actually stop raising, and maybe, you know, maybe they'll continue on with, you know, with that, you know, with those high rates, but not raising them. So we're just getting started today here on the Best Stocks Now show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with your host Barry Kite, planner analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today on this Fed Wednesday. So we've got some Bill's got a little analysis to do, crunching some numbers, particularly after the Microsoft and Google release, and we've got a couple of names we own, and of course Boeing this morning, another name we own. So, keeping busy, certainly plenty to keep us busy here. Markets are kind of waiting around, I think, with the rest of us. Dow's pretty much, you know, right at flat. S&P's down, 6 points, so pretty much flat there. NASDAQ, down 16 or 0.12%. To 14,128. So, not a lot of market movement here, from an index perspective. And of course, more in the second half of the show, we'll kind of dive into some of those earnings numbers and also dive into some of those individual names and see what's under the hood of the market there. But as we mentioned, of course, you know, market largely expecting that 25 basis point increase today, and of course we'll get a lot of the volatility. We'll come at 2:30 when Chairman Powell begins speaking, and so, you know, it kind of takes a good look at, as I mentioned previously, there's, you know, about a 44% chance, just say, you know, 50-50, just say 50-50 camp wise if the Fed's going to be done here, or if the Fed will raise one more quarter point time before the end of the year. And so there's, you know, so we've got that kind of, we're kind of at that tipping point or inflection point here of stopping or starting. And so could take, make sense to kind of see where we stand now. And when you're looking, you know, kind of where we are at from a Fed funds rate standpoint, we're, they give a range now from, you know, 5% to 5.25. I like focusing on the higher number there. It's just easier just to, you know, versus a range. So, you know, roughly at 5.25 now, they raise a quarter point today. That'll get us to that 5.5, level, which I mentioned will be the highest in 22 years. And so we, if we get to that 5.5 level, right, what's, you know, what are the, you know, kind of, what are the, what's the Fed focused on, what needs to happen, right, in order to, let's say, you know, what's the argument for a pause? Of course, you know, the Fed's, on the, you know, most important thing there is really what the Fed is looking at in terms of, you know, do they raise, stay the same, or, you know, some, at some point down the road, you know, do they, when they cut. But remember, the Fed really has a dual mandate. You know, number one is unemployment, which right now is at historic lows, at least from an unemployment standpoint. Labor market's obviously strong. It's been waning a tiny bit, but largely, certainly, you know, one would argue that we're certainly at or above full employment. So they're hitting that mandate. The mandate that's been hung up on, obviously, has been the inflation goal. And their stated inflation rate has been 2% for I don't know, probably a little over a decade now, I would imagine. And so, of course, we've been well above that since certainly since COVID. But, you know, we've seen inflation levels continue to improve. We've gotten some pretty, you know, some solid CPI and PPI numbers, you know, over the last, you know, handful of reporting periods, say, you know, call it the last six or so, have been encouraging, whether you're looking at the CPI, the PPI, which is the Producer's Price Index, or the PCE Index, which is what the Fed looks at from an inflation standpoint. And so, last reading for the PCE, last reading for the CPI was at core, taking out food and price, food and energy, rose 4.8% year over year. PCE index was up, 4.6% in May. So, even though those are improving, obviously they're above that, solidly above that 2%. Target that we've historically had, like I said, for the last decade or so. Those are kind of, when we look at different things, one thing we look at in terms of purchasing, and we kind of joke about around here and kind of joke about back and forth with some clients is egg prices. CALM is the symbol, Cal-Maine Foods. They're a big egg producer. They actually, did pretty good on their earnings, but actually referred to falling egg prices, and kind of, when you look at eggs, of course, eggs are pretty much, get put into a majority of the food, out there, particularly on the processed food side. And so, it's a big input cost into, food prices in general, and they've, fallen, they're at an all-time high of $4.82 a dozen, I think, in January. That average is now $2.21 here in June. Prices were down 7.9% in June when compared to a year ago, and actually 7% lower than in May. So there's, those are a piece of inflation, obviously, that that has been waning on the supply side. The other problem, of course, was supply constraints during COVID and coming out of that. We just, one of the biggest kind of near-term issues from a supply chain standpoint was the potential strike with UPS and the Teamsters Union. And at least as of noonish yesterday, they announced that they struck a deal there. So that will, looks like they're going to avoid a strike, which would have certainly been a tailwind for at least for near-term inflation in terms of, the supply chain. But that deal, even though it could be a mixed bag in terms of, income in the form of increased wages on the inflation side, at least, we avoided some, supply chain disruptions there. So, these are kind of things, of course, the Fed discusses, kind of interesting that came out during the Fed meeting. We don't know if that'll have any effect on, much effect on their decision today, but at least those are, certainly supply chain is something the Fed has much less control over. And so getting that kind of cleared up, or at least appeared to be cleared up, is going to be, would be advantageous for inflation, at least going forward. So UPS didn't get really a huge bump. UPS currently is, let's see, I think they're down just a tad bit. We've got UPS down, down right at 0.15%, so basically flat on the day. The deal, looks like the deal will actually end up increasing labor costs pretty significantly for UPS over time, which could be interpreted as inflationary. So we'll see how that affects largely unionized parts of the workforce, and how that feeds into the inflation numbers going forward. We'll When we come back, we're done with the first half of the show. We'll come back and dive into some Microsoft and Google earnings and some other earnings out there. It's Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of the Wednesday, July 26th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner analyst here at Gunderson Capital, taking the wheel for Bill today as we kind of gear up for almost a data barrage, if you will, from an earnings perspective, from a central bank perspective. And when you look at the markets, they're pretty much in a holding pattern as well as pulling up the U.S. bond market just to see, how the 10-year was reacting today. And, looks like the, 10-year's, down just basically hardly no movement, just about 3 basis points, down just under 3.9% at, 3.87% at the moment. So, not much movement until Powell's mouth gets moving here a little bit later around 2:30. So set your clocks and we'll or just watch the volume of the S&P 500 as he begins to kind of speak and good or bad fuel the market there. But of course, while the central banks certainly have garnered much of the spotlight this week, we have, and Bill's been highlighting, obviously, that we've got 40% of the S&P 500 reporting, and it'd be interesting to get his take in terms of his earnings report card. But, overall, at least, kind of when you look at things, a lot of your companies here are beating expectations in terms of earnings, and and also a handful on the revenue side as well. So it'll be interesting to see, like I said, get Bill's report card, particularly after this week is done, and looking at the S&P outlook there on Bill's Best Stocks Now newsletter that goes out every Saturday. You can always reach us, give us a ring, 855-611-BEST, and give us a call. Welcome to go to the website at GundersonCapital.com. Sign up for a couple free weeks of the newsletter and get an idea on what our take is and what Bill's take is on the earnings season this week. But, the two big ones that reported after the close, two that we own, Microsoft and Google. Also, or Alphabet, if you will. And then, of course, we'll have Meta, another name we own, reporting after the close today. We'll also a couple other big names that we own or owned in the past. ServiceNow, a name we owned, and also Lam Research, and will come out after the close today. But, when you look at kind of Microsoft and Google, they've really... we've certainly had some divergence today between Microsoft and Alphabet, and I'm pulling up Microsoft first here as we as I'm looking. We've got for most of the year, obviously, with ChatGPT, Microsoft has really kind of been outperforming certainly Google, or at least beating them to the punch, but. Since then, Google's really been pulling back, closing that gap between Microsoft from a return standpoint, and also just from a narrative standpoint in terms of AI, and And Google really on their call, CEO really focused, most of his time there on the call was, primarily geared strictly, towards AI. And you've got, Alphabet or Google up, over 6% today. And then, of course, you've got Microsoft is down a little over 4%, here, just a moment ago. And to go through the numbers, they both, Microsoft had a good report. They beat analyst estimates by 14% or 14 cents on the EPS number. They beat by $710 million on the revenue number. Good report, at least based on analyst expectations. The big deal here is their cloud division, their Azure cloud unit. Had some slower growth than expected. I think the revenue only grew 26% year over year. Roughly 44% or so of Microsoft's earnings actually involve the cloud. So it's certainly a big growth driver for them. And so when you see a little bit of a slowdown there in that division, obviously, if you kind of think back to Apple days where they were driven, basically their earnings were driven primarily by iPhones. It was all about, how many iPhones did they sell in the quarter. It didn't matter any of their other businesses, although now there are other businesses, or make up, I think, even more than 50% of their revenue. So iPhone, they've been able to have, other Apple services, other pieces of the business, similar to what Microsoft has done over the years. But the cloud division, obviously, is a very important piece of that in AI, and that's kind of part of the AI equation is, of course, you're going to need more server capacity, more data warehouse capacity to calculate these generative AI models, large language models. And so looking into that, I think from a go forward standpoint, they really management's really focused on that AI space, obviously, and they see generative AI, the workloads that's required and are largely done in the cloud. You can't, it's not like the old days where you had the server in your closet or in a room at the office. In order to do these calculations, you're highly likely to have some data center offsite in the cloud that's going to be generating these different models here. So a little bump, like I said, little pullback in Microsoft today. Of course, year over year basis, year to date basis, the stock's up, over 40%. I don't think this pullback in the stock really changes the story much for us. I think it just just part of the sell the news kind of story there. And on the other end, like I said, we own both Microsoft and Google, and Google was up over 6%. They beat by 10 cents. Revenue actually beat by 1.84 billion. So they had a great quarter. Like I said, the CEO there focused a good bit of his call devoted, strictly towards commentary on AI. I think Google's probably done a little worse of a job kind of explaining their AI strategy versus say Microsoft or even Nvidia, right? Touting the benefits of AI, particularly to their revenues and future revenues and business. In AI, the CEO joked about the fact that they were in their seventh year as an AI first company. So the point there was, I think CEO was trying to say we've been doing formed of AI for a handful of years, and that they have the capabilities to do so, and that they are firmly moving kind of whether it's talent or focused dollars towards that generative AI space. So they're getting a bump today. One of the big parts of that really grew for Google were Their YouTube revenues, they actually grew $40 billion over the last 12 months through March. Of course, one of the big things is you know, YouTube. They've got 2 billion logged in users every month, which is up from 1.5 billion users just a year ago. So that's a 33% growth in that space in terms of user growth. So that's a huge, a big source of their revenue, and actually revenue grew faster. It was up, revenue is up 24% in the YouTube space. So all of those, all you folks out there streaming YouTube on your TV, it says, they said they're in 150 million connected TV screens in the U.S. So big, big news there. We're getting down to the end of the segment, but we'll try to get through Boeing if we have a minute. If not, we'll get to Boeing on the back end. Boeing's another reported this morning. That's another name we own here. They beat their beat revenue by seven, or beat earnings per share by 7 cents, and beat by on the revenue side as well. So it'd be interesting. That's what I say. It'll be interesting to see what some of Bill's earnings projections are for that S&P 500 outlook in the newsletter this week. And we'll be right back with the fourth and final segment of the day. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. I am Barry Kite, planner analyst here at Gunderson Capital, sitting in for Bill on this Fed Wednesday, Fed Wednesday, July 26th. And so we're kind of sitting back, and that's kind of been the theme of the day. I think the markets have kind of, the exception of a few who big names that reported, the market seems to be taking a bit of a day off, getting a little, it's getting a little worse, here since we started the show, though. We've got, NASDAQ's down, 0.4%. A little weakness, obviously in, Microsoft driving that, but also being offset by, the good report, from Google. You've got the chip makers are kind of taking a day off. I think Texas Instruments is down a little over 5% on a, I thought they did decent on the report, but I guess the market's not not buying the news on that one. But we're getting finished up Boeing real quick, and the reason I want to get to Boeing is you know, looking at the Dow right now, which is pretty pretty close to flat. You've really got Boeing up you know, almost 4%. On their report, and they're pretty much offsetting the down 4% that Microsoft is at the moment in the Dow. Everything else in the Dow is relatively the only other name is, you know, 3M's kind of following up off of yesterday's strength, up 1 point, almost 1.5%. So that's the only other down name that's up or down over a percent. So really just the Boeing and Microsoft driving those today. And Boeing came on with a pretty good report in terms of, you know, in terms of demand. They've got a backlog, said they, like I said, they beat on, by 7 cents on the, EPS side. They, beat by 1.16 billion on the, on the revenue side. So beat on both, which is nice. Revenue is actually up 18.4% year over year. Of course, looks like a company's backlog of $440 billion, including 4,800 commercial airplanes. So looks like they've got plenty of work in the pipeline there. And actually highlighted something that was, I thought was pretty interesting. And for if you're like us with three kids, you know, if you've got some kids out there who don't know what they're going to do yet, aviation industry is a, apparently they'll be hiring. Of course, Boeing has, came out with their, what they call their 2023 pilot and technician report. And, essentially they say the aviation industry will need 2.3 million workers. I think that's worldwide, by 2042. Of those, 649,000 are pilots. There's 690,000 maintenance technicians, and then 938,000 cabin crew members. So, looks like you know, in that industry, pretty solid pipeline in terms of future business. Most of that demand, where's that demand coming from? It's going to be, as you can imagine, China, Eurasia, and North America are going to drive. Apparently more than half of that new personnel, and of course, China surpassing, North America, in terms of fastest growing, area. On the flip side of that, of course, we mentioned yesterday another name we own, in our dividend growth portfolio, Raytheon RTX, ended up down about 10% yesterday. That was on the, news that they have some, defective engines that they're going to have to, recall and or fixed. CEO mentioned, and I quote, the engine recall is, quote, is going to be expensive. So their full year, they lowered their full year, cash flow guidance by $500 million. So it looks like, at least it's, you know, that's the amount that's going to impact them. Airbus, you know, who they're actually selling those engines to, they don't really see an impact in terms of ongoing deliveries. A couple of those airlines, the airlines that are most affected is going to be Delta and Spirit. If you happen to be on a Southwest or United or American Airlines flight, they're, may not be affected hardly at all because they fly other plane models. So, just an, you know, interesting piece in terms of, those two. We continue to keep an eye on, RTX to kind of see, to see where that, that story is going. A couple other, interesting earnings reports. Coca-Cola, smashed on their revenue, organic revenue growth. Organic revenue growth was up 11% during the quarter. Latin America was up almost over 25%. So, Coca-Cola, very large, obviously, contributor to the Dow. I think they're still in the Dow. Are we still in the Coke is still in the Dow? Nope, they're not. I don't believe they are. So they're obviously in the S&P 500, but good report out of them. Visa had another, you know, came in and, above estimates. Like I said, a lot of large companies, you know, AT&T, their profit exceed expectations as much as we joke around about AT&T around here. We'll give them some credit here for, their cash flow came in, higher than expected, and their profits exceeded expectations. So, we've got a lot of, you know, kind of positive large, very large companies that are beating on, both the top and bottom line. So, like I said, I'll be really interested to take a look at, you know, Bill's earnings scorecard, for this quarter, especially given that we're, you know, getting, solidly through, at least, you know, half of the, if not a few more of the, S&P 500, companies this, you know, after the dust settles on this week. And, of course, you know, check out, Bill's newsletter. You can get that at GundersonCapital.com, or, you're welcome to give us a ring. Tell Edie hello, and, she'll get you signed up at 855-611-BEST, 611-BEST. And then, of course, you know, we'll have our, you know, Bill be, you know, all over the, interwebs, today as we wait and see what Chairman Powell and the rest of the Fed have up their sleeve. And, we'll see, like I said, there'll be a lot more information in the news conference than, that initial release that'll come out at 2 p.m. Eastern, but we'll have our eyes on it, and you're welcome to, give us a call with any questions. We're here at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everyone.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.